Let me guess. You've downloaded this podcast because you like two things: free content and supporting local businesses. What's better than a free show like this? A podcast that helps you save money. And that part is thanks to our local loan originator, who is also nationally recognized. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation is who you need to call if you're looking to buy or refinance. 2 years ago, I did a refi. Ended up saving hundreds. And guess what? Interest rates are still low. Why not just call Ashley and get a quote? See for yourself. And as a thank you from us for supporting an amazing partner, if you get a quote from Ashley and mention the Triad Podcast Network, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card of your choice. So trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience where personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, equal housing opportunity.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
You may not know it, but Davidson Davy Community College boasts one of the most elite men's basketball programs on the JUCO circuit in the country. And guiding the storm is a head coach whose nameplate might suggest he's just another guy. But he's everything but that. Sure, Matt Ridge is not a household name, at least not to most of you. In a state bursting with college basketball royalty, chock full of highly impassioned fans, Hall of Fame and legendary coaches, and unparalleled success and traditions, it's easy to overlook what Ridge has built in Thomasville. And he, neither I, would blame you. But I think we'd both agree, if I haven't gotten your attention already, it's time to start paying some to the storm. Ahead of their January 24th home game against Catawba Valley, DDCC is ranked 6th in the country among NJCAA Division II schools. NJCAA standing for National Junior College Athletic Association. They're 17-2, have won 12 in a row, and they're not just beating opponents. The Storm are shredding them by nearly 29 points per game in each of their 17 wins. Ridge, recognized in the fall of 2020 by the Dispatch as a legendary coach of Davidson County, is 380-79 in his 14 years as the head coach, and the Storm have won better than 90% of all their home games. 8 outright conference titles, 4 co-championships, and 5-time Region 10 tournament champions. In 6 of the 14 seasons, the Storm have advanced to both the District 7 Championships and the NJCAA National Tournament. In national tournament play, the Storm finished 8th in 2010, 4th in 2011, 5th in 2016, 7th in 2017, and national runner-up in 2021. It's hard to ignore those numbers, am I right? Whether you are a basketball junkie, a silent observer, or somewhere in between, there's something more to the game than basketball. And if you didn't already know that, Matt Ridge epitomizes it. So grab a pen and take some notes, because your basketball IQ is about to soar to new levels. I'm Kyle Schatzberger, and this is Matt Ridge, not just the head men's basketball coach, but also a first-year athletic director at Davidson Davy Community College on Triad Sports One-on-One. Athletic director, men's basketball coach for a top 10 JUCO team in the country. I know that entails just volleyball and men's golf right now, but be honest, what's the breakdown percentage-wise in the time commitment each role takes this time of the year, coach?
Well, since July 1st and I got the AD job, you know, I've spent a tremendous amount of time learning all the AD responsibilities and duties. So this year in particular, I've spent a lot more time just learning the ins and outs of what all goes into being a successful athletic director. Obviously, over my career and coaching, I've spent a tremendous amount of time on that side. So right now I'm trying to just, you know, manage my time and balance it. So, you know, I'm not just a great, hopefully, athletic director and coach, but husband and father.
And this could, and that's beautiful, very diplomatic. I didn't expect anything less, but this could be a good launching pad here for the listener who may not know much about the community college or JUCO level. Kind of a launching pad of the difference in resources that there might be for the NJCAA versus that of the more, and I mean no disrespect by this, prominent programs at the NCAA Division I level or Division II level. And I don't necessarily mean Wake or Duke or Carolina, not even Davidson, who at this time of the recording holds the nation's longest win streak. But Matt, you've put together quite the resume. A shot to amass 400 career wins this calendar year. You're guiding a powerhouse. One paid assistant, if I follow correctly, while balancing those responsibilities that come with overseeing the operation of those two other sports. My question is, what is navigating that balance like? I know it's early in kind of both roles, but in terms of the help you have and maybe even the limitations beyond that you must overcome in recruiting, scholarships, travel, food, training, and facilities with your program.
Man, you hit on a lot there, Kyle.
Hey, man, I'm well-versed.
You know, I'm the only full-time employee of Davidson-Davie Community College in the athletic program. So not only am I the athletic director and overseeing eligibility, but I'm also overseeing compliance, you know, everything from making sure the jerseys are washed to making sure my staff as well, you know, not just my basketball staff, but my golf and volleyball coaches are getting things done. You know, they're not full-time employees at the college, so they're not there. So I kind of have to oversee and make sure every program in athletics at Davidson-Davie, everything's taken care of. And, you know, that's not always the easiest thing to do when you don't have all your coaches there full time. But in this region of the country, it's not unusual. So it is what it is. You learn to adapt. But fortunately, right now, we don't have the three, you know, athletic teams, golf, women's volleyball, and men's basketball. So it's not like I'm overseeing 10 or 15 sports like other junior colleges in this area. But at the same time, it is a lot because you got to make sure all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted to make sure that, you know, there's no mistakes with eligibility and, you know, ordering stuff, equipment, uniforms, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you've cracked the code to this point, especially for your team's performance on the floor. Let's get into the fun stuff now. Take me back to your start at Davidson-Davie Community College. It was the 07-08 year that you not only were you making your college head coaching debut, but you took a job where you were going to be leading a team that would be playing its first ever game in program history. What do you remember most about that inaugural season for the Storm and your head coaching career?
It was an absolute whirlwind, Kyle. I was hired in late June. I had 6 weeks to put a team together. My wife and I had scheduled a week trip, you know, for our fifth anniversary to go to Florida. And I remember sitting at the pool and calling recruits. You know, I was just trying to put a team together, and a lady sit beside me, some, you know, random lady I didn't know, and she leaned over and said, "Are you a real estate agent?" Because I was just on my phone the whole time, just about, you know, just trying to find players to field a team for that first year. But we were blessed to sign some really good players. Justin Strickland, who was first team All-American, who had the misfortune of having to play for me for 4 years in high school, went at Guilford College when I was an assistant to Tom Blumbo, and then came with me to Davidson. So we also signed a kid out of West Caldwell named Landon Bowers, a dynamic guard, and then we were blessed to have a 6'7 transfer, Justin Reisman. So we had three all-region players that first year. I think we won 22 games. So I, in a very short period of time, was very blessed to find some pretty good players and talk them into coming to play for me. So it was a whirlwind, but, you know, we had to order uniforms, everything from A to Z that first year. We had 6 weeks to do it, and it was just a lot of fun, but also challenging that first year to get everything done because our gym, Kyle, it wasn't even ready to host a game. We had to, you know, put in side goals, bleachers, scoreboards, and we had very limited time to get all of it done.
22 wins, 7 losses, to be exact. Rose to number 9 in the polls in the D3 Division III rankings of the JUCO ranks. Co-champion of the Tar Heel Conference regular season. You bring up Justin Strickland. I might ask you more on him later. His name is born now across the court, Justin Strickland Court there at Brinkley Gym. And I know, yes, he was a very important player to you. But you mentioned your wife, Candace. He had a week-long trip. Has she forgiven you yet for that? Have you been able to make up for it?
She's gotten used to it over, you know, 20 years being married to her. She knows the deal. And unlike, I think, some coaches' wives, she really fully understands the demands of a college coaching job. You know, she supports me unconditionally going out recruiting just about every night that we don't play. So, yeah, she's a very supportive coach's wife for sure.
You ever envision a scenario then where you'd be here 14 seasons later, have more wins than any other National Junior College Athletic Association, D2 or D3 coach, and even have the highest winning percentage of any coach during that span?
Well, we take it one game at a time, Kyle. And, you know, my goals that I wrote down whenever I first took the job We're pretty specific, and we've achieved every one except for the last one, which was to win a national championship by my 15th year. And this is our 15th year. So last year, obviously, we were 7 minutes away from doing it. We were up seven with 7 minutes to play and didn't close the deal out. So I think part of the motivation for some of my guys that returned this year that had full scholarships that could have moved on was to, take care of some unfinished business in Danville, Illinois. So we got a special group, and I'm hoping we can continue to improve and get back to Danville.
It seems like it was a no-brainer for you to take the job, too, at the time, simply because you were looking for that next opportunity. And naturally, you know, being the head coach in the high school ranks at East Davidson, you turned it into a legitimate contender in the Central Carolina Conference over 6 years, spent a year as an assistant for Guilford College, an Elite Eight team that year. Was it just the challenge, the new opportunity? I think it kind of speaks for itself, but take me into that decision. How much hesitation was there, if any, to take this job?
Very little. It was in my backyard. They actually called me and asked me to interview, and at the time I had spent only 1 year as Tom's assistant at Guilford College and learned so much in that 1 year about recruiting and what all goes into coaching and, the college ranks. But, I love a challenge. I've always loved a challenge. When I went to East Davidson, I had some colleagues in coaching that told me I was crazy, that East Davidson has always been terrible and they had no chance of being successful. So, when I look back, I've always never been the guy to shy away from a challenge, and starting the program was certainly just that. And I've enjoyed my 14 plus years at the college. And this year in particular, I've been just so blessed that Dr. Harkness gave me the opportunity to be the athletic director and try to put my own stamp on the entire athletic program, which has been a lot of fun the last 6.5 months.
So I think we can learn a little bit about your coaching philosophy to this point, and you kind of already put an inkling of that into our minds, talking about the goals you set when you first took this job, wanting to win a national championship by year 15. You've got another heck of a chance here before you as we sit at the time of this recording. But I don't know if it's that Carolina background you got or what, but it didn't take long for you to establish the DDCC as a real force. Fourth in the national polls in year two, first of five, region 10 titles, perfect conference season, national tournament appearance in year three, number one in the polls for 15 weeks, 10 in a row during the 2010-2011 year, where you finished with a program best 34 wins against just two defeats. Where did this mojo, this belief come from, and so quickly, and especially how are you able to get your guys to buy in the way that they do?
Well, it's a lot of people behind the scenes, Kyle, involved in that entire process that you just spoke about. I think fans in general just see the end product, but they don't see my assistant coaches out at 1 a.m. driving back from First Flight High School or Murphy to Manio recruiting and establishing those relationships. We really worked hard at recruiting. We believe it's the backbone of the program. And the thing that I'm probably most proud of is the consistency in which we've been successful in terms of winning games in my 14 plus years at Davidson. And there's been so many assistant coaches that have worked tirelessly. I'm not easy to play for, but I'm also not easy to coach with because I'm pretty demanding, that every night that we're not playing, we're out recruiting. And I would say from probably November to March, our guys average maybe one night off a week at the most in terms of going out recruiting when we're not playing. So at the end of the day, doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, if you cannot get out and recruit kids who play hard, smart, and together, and to play unselfish and are willing to play for the name on the front instead of the back of the jersey.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even help my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
I want to circle back to that national championship defeat in a moment, but let's stay here because you it seems that you have this unique ability to connect with your guys and surrounding yourself with the right people, the right resources, that you're able to not just get them to buy in what you're selling, but then to squeeze the absolute most out of them when they're on the floor. You played while at UNC on the JV team, those for 2 years before you cut your teeth as an assistant, the final 2 years under Phil Ford and Dave Hanners. Safe to assume that they were pretty big influences in your decision to go all in on this coaching thing the way you have?
Oh, there's no question. My 4.5 years actually in Chapel Hill were special, and I learned so much from being a small part of the Carolina basketball program during that time, and just so blessed, Kyle, to be a part of it. And I learned not just a lot about the game of basketball, but life. And one of the things that I learned was that we all have the same 24 hours, and we can all have, you know, the choice to outwork others, whether it's me as a coach or our players getting in the gym before or after practice, putting up an extra 1,000 shots, which a lot of our players do every day on the gun. So we believe that it starts with the coaching staff at Davidson-Davie outworking other coaches all over the country in terms of recruiting and preparing our guys, whether it be in film sessions, scouting report, or in practice.
You graduated from Chapel Hill in 96. That came after your time at Ledford, where you were a pretty good player from what I could tell. 3 years on varsity. What did your time at Ledford teach you about the game of basketball?
Well, I was so blessed to play for a Hall of Fame coach, Robert Kent, who actually won a national championship back in the 70s at Guilford College. Played with ML Carr, Royal B. Free, some guys actually played and coached in the NBA. So I've just been really blessed when you look back at my career as a player and coach to have been surrounded by guys that are a lot smarter than me and taught me a lot about the game of basketball and how to connect with kids and how to get them to buy into what you're selling. And it started for me my freshman year in high school when I played for Greg McKenzie for 1 year on the JV team. He was a phenomenal coach, went on to be a high school varsity coach at several area high schools. And then, of course, my 3 years on the varsity with Robert Kent, who was in my wedding and to this day is my mentor. So my 3 years on the varsity at Ledford will always be special. I think 8 of those 12 guys on that team that played for the state championship in 92 went on to coach at some level or another.
Let's rewind now back to DDCC, the 2019-2020 year. Finished third nationally, but oh, what could have been? 31-1, and then the national tournament, the plug was pulled because of the coronavirus, and all of our nation, all of the world was witness to that as tournament after tournament, sporting event after sporting event was postponed or canceled, and really elementary in the grand scheme of things as it pertains to the overall health of our global society. But packaging all those emotions up, the disappointment of not being able to finish what you had started, you used it well the following year, making it all the way back and into the national championship game, which you've referenced already a season ago, before losing to Des Moines Area Community College, 86-75, April 24th. I know you won't forget the date. You were the number one seed. You finished second in the country, runner-up. That brings us to today, really full circle, as the buy-in you get from the quality guys that you recruit, the concept of team that you teach, you appear ready to take that next step towards winning the one thing that has eluded you and DDCC to this point. That's the whole thing. What was your message, though, to the team after losing in the championship game last season, and how would you measure their response to that to this point?
Well, it's been the same message since I stepped foot in that locker room with all those tears. To use that game and that experience to outwork everybody in the country. Every day before practice, my manager actually puts the score that you just quoted on our scoreboard to remind them of the pain. I don't want any of us, including myself, to forget that and use that as fuel to our fire every day to outwork everybody in the country. So when we get back, hopefully, knock on wood, to Danville, Illinois, we're more prepared than we've ever been to survive in advance, and then if we're fortunate enough to play in the national championship game, close the deal. Because last year, late in the game, when we usually are at our best, we were at our worst. And so, you know, it taught me a lot as a coach, and I hope our players feel the same way. And I do think that a lot of our guys are using that as fuel to our fire every day to get in the gym before and after practice to put in those extra shots. The team that beat us, Kyle, shot 55% from the three. And, you know, if you shoot the ball at that level, you can hide a lot of mistakes. And that's exactly what Des Moines did last year. So I think our kids understand the process. It's the willingness and self-discipline to consistently every day make the choices that you need to make so you can have the future that you want to have. And our kids, for the most part, are doing just that.
It'd be quite the movie script, that's for sure. And I know you're looking to write and create that perfect ending, especially this season. Your team is well poised. Did you always want to coach? Like, when did this thought first enter your mind? Because, you know, just talking to you, and I'm sure the listener can tell, like, I want to play for that guy. Like, I'm ready to suit up, coach. Like, I can learn more than just basketball from you. It's the life lessons. It's the relentless commitment, the ability to never give up and chase down what you set to accomplish from the very beginning.
Well, like I said before, Kyle, honest to goodness, I've loved this game since I was probably 5-6 years old with all my heart and soul. And at the end of the day, I've just been so blessed during my career as a former player and coach to have played with and for some unbelievable men that have taught me a lot more than just how to win basketball games. It's your work ethic, it's your self-discipline, it's your ability to communicate and how to handle adversity, how to handle success. And those are the types of things that I hope and pray when my career is over that I hope I've passed along to our guys. It's not just about winning the championships and cutting down the nets, but it's also about life lessons that they're learning that they can carry on as businessmen, just like Justin Strickland has done in the business world, and more importantly, as fathers and husbands.
Success with all that you've had, I've got to ask, and if it hasn't happened already, it certainly will be coming your way. There's got to be other schools, bigger schools, that have wanted you, and with that might come bigger offers. What is it about where you're at, though, that makes it a decision? I don't know, maybe it makes it easier, but you've stayed put. You've got a job that you still feel is incomplete to this point. What is it about DDCC that has your heart?
You know, I started the program in 2007, 2008, along with the athletic director, Ken Kirk, and at that time, Dr. Mary Ritland. You know, I'm from this town. I grew up in this town, and Davis and Davy is very, very special to my wife and myself and my three daughters. I feel like all three of my daughters have been raised up in that gym. And if and when God wants me to move on at the right time to possibly a four-year job, it'll be difficult to leave. But at the same time, it has been one of my goals to be a four-year coach. And I have been a finalist for several jobs over the years. And it just has not worked out. It hasn't been in God's timing. And the older I get, the more I'll just pray for God's will for my career and my family. And, you know, early on in my career, I wasn't like that. I was more funnel vision about what I wanted. But the older I get, the more I realize you just need to make the big time where you are. And one day the big time will find you. And I hope and pray that our community feels like Davis and Davy Community College is a big time program, because that was my goal when I started.
Well, I know your wife, Candace, your three daughters, you got one in high school, two in grade school, Madison, Parker, Ella. I know they appreciate your approach to all of that. I'll get you out of here on this. Justin Strickland, he's come up a couple of times. The man had a magnificent career, and yes, he seemed to play for you and you only. What was it, 34 a game? Did I read that right? To lead all of D3 at the JUCO level? In his 1 year under you at DDCC. I mean, the man was a four-year all-conference, all-county player in high school, second all-time leading scorer in Davidson County. What's your favorite Justin Strickland story that you have?
Well, first of all, Kyle, during this 30-minute podcast, it's amazing the homework you've done prior to even starting this interview. I mean, wow. You've really done your homework.
And how much notice did I have for that, Coach? Hey, I take this just as seriously as you do your job.
It's very obvious, and you do a phenomenal job, Kyle. I've enjoyed this. So Justin Strickland is extremely special to my wife and I. I feel like he's our godson. You know, when he was in the seventh grade, I met him when I was the head coach of the East, and we were not very good at the time. I had just taken that job, and he had some it factor, some competitiveness, will to win that you can't hardly, well, it's very difficult to teach kids. And he had a lot of inward anger that he had personal stuff going on in his life, and basketball was his outlet. in his freshman year, his first game, I think he scored 29 points at West Davis in high school, and all the local media was talking about diaper dandy this, and you know. But his 4 years at East Davis were amazing. He helped turn that program around, and he was, when your best player is your hardest worker, everybody falls in line usually, and that's exactly what happened. In his last 3 years, his sophomore, junior, senior year, we broke the school record for wins each year. And then, of course, he went on and moved and played at Guilford College for a year, helped lead that team to the Elite Eight, and then he came with me to Davison. And now he is leading one of the top 500 fastest-growing businesses in the United States in Strickland Brothers. And it is truly amazing what he has done with his business. And it's remarkable. And I'm just so proud of what he's done with his life, his family. And we have named the court after him. He's a huge sponsor. He's given quite a bit of money to our athletic program once I got the AD job. And right now, like you said earlier in this podcast, we've named the court after him.
He scored 2,122 points, 26 all-time in North Carolina. That coming at East Davidson High School under one Matt Ridge. It may be trivial. We know how Strickland has supported the program. How can a listener support what it is you've built at Davidson-David Community College? Two, volleyball, men's golf, any other programs not necessarily concerning athletics that the school is excited about. One of those top line items might be actually coming out to Justin Strickland Court at Brinkley Gym to see the Storm in live in action.
Well, we have actually several different levels that people and businesses can get involved. We have signs on the side of Brinkley Gym. We have, of course, Strickland's name on the court. We have all sorts of ways to get involved. If there's any listeners out there interested, they could email or call me. My cell number is on our website as well as my email address. And there's a lot of different packages that we're offering businesses to get involved and things they'll get in return for their money, not just their name on the side of the gym, but other things as well. So if there's anyone listening, please let me know. We'd love to talk to you about how it can be a win-win for you and your business, as well as our school and our athletic program.
Matt, all the best in health for you, your family, continued success to you and DDCC as you run down the program's first ever national championship. Thank you, Coach.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this a lot, even if you are a Duke fan.
Thank you, Coach. That's Matt Ridge, an astounding resume with unfinished business to handle this spring in the national tournament. You can check the upcoming schedule at davidsondavy.edu or just pull up your search engine and put in Davidson-Davy Community College men's basketball. The Storm are scheduled to play 5 home games at Brinkley Gym during the month of February alone. Postseason play begins at the end of February with the national tournament, should Davidson-Davy Community College be so fortunate, starting on March 15th in Danville, Illinois. I coached an all-star baseball tournament there 1 year. Very interesting place. How about some individual honors, though, before closing? Ridge and his staff have produced 7 All-Americans, 4 Region 10 Players of the Year, and 3 Region 10 Freshman of the Year award winners in the 13 years of the program's existence. Ridge was named the Region 10 Coach of the Year 4 consecutive times, and also the District 7 Coach of the Year in 2010, 2011, 16, 17, 2020, and 2021. Ridge was named the Region 10 Coach of the Year 10 times during a 14-year period. I'm Kyle Schassberger. You can find me at Kyle Schass, Twitter and Instagram. The coach is on the Twitter machine as well, at CoachRidge15. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Davidson-Davy Community College head men's basketball coach Matt Ridge on Triad Sports One-on-One.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.